Can y'all hear me? Shalom, friends. If you've got a baseball cap on or a hat or sunglasses on your head, would y'all take those off and let's have a word of prayer, please? Father God, just I pray as we come to this time together, Lord, and I just pray that, Lord, I just feel so inadequate, God. I just pray that I just know that I'm just a mere vessel and that you will allow the Holy Spirit to come through me, Lord, and I pray the words that I say are from you, God, and from nothing else, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that have a Father that we can just know that we are all brought here this week for so many reasons, reasons we may never even know, Lord. But I just pray that we may receive you, Father God, and just experience your shalom in your most holy and gracious name. Amen. Amen. Before I start talking, I just want to tell y'all that I don't feel very good, and I'm kind of goofy right now, and I have a really, really, really bad migraine, and I keep smiling, and I'm really goofy because I'm so delirious and tired, but I don't want y'all to walk out of this service and be like, wow, Katie Marie was so enthusiastic about Jesus. I can't wait to find Jesus, or wow, yeah, I feel her enthusiasm. I'm so pumped, and I'm so excited for this opportunity. I want y'all to know I really am exuberant, but y'all just going to have to bear with me, okay? So, howdy.
Howdy.
That was kind of weak. All right, Ags. Howdy.
Howdy.
I still think we can do better than that. Howdy. That'll do, that'll do. I'm an Aggie in case you haven't realized that. All right. Okay, you guys, all right. I need a volunteer from the crowd. You in the white hat over there, come here. What's your name?
Ashley.
Ashley. Ashley's standing here with me, and I'm about to give Ashley a pair of scissors, and I'm going to tell her to cut this for me. You cut that? Here, I'll hold it, and you cut it. Oh, my gosh. Okay, just really cut it.
Okay.
There we go. Cut it again.
Thanks to read the numbers.
That's not good. Ouch. Cut that one more time. That's good. That's pretty good.
What's your picture?
Yeah. What is this that you just cut?
Credit card.
Yeah, it's a debit card. Okay, thank you. You can go sit back down.
Okay.
Gee, I just got her to thank you for that. I appreciate that. Sometimes you need volunteers and stuff. I just asked Ashley to come up here and cut my debit card. Why? That's a very good question. You know, a long time ago, whenever Jonathan had emailed me to speak about holiness, my first question was like, why in the world would he ask me to speak? And another thing was kind of struck me was how I speak all the time and I talk with my youth. It's like a weekly thing, whatever. But holiness, it seemed like a topic that I never talk about. I never get up and go, we should strive to be holy people. I never say that. I'm like, we should strive to do other things. I never talk about being holy. And it hit me. Part of that is And y'all as teenagers, us as people, holiness is a topic that I should be talking about constantly and a topic that we should all be thinking about constantly, because what does the world think is holy? What is this? What does this debit card represent? What does money represent? Yeah. By the way, I'm not really that ignorant or stupid. That's an old debit card. It was just an example, though. I mean, you could glue these pieces back together and you can't use it. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just a symbolic gesture. It's a thing. Yeah, today in the world, holiness to Christ, to God, the holiness we should strive for is totally different than the holiness that the world is telling us to do. What are some things that this world claims to be holy? Okay, well, first of all, let's talk about what the word holy means. Anybody got any words? Separated from sin. Holy. Whenever I think of holy, first and foremost, God put this scripture upon my heart. And if you've got your Bible, which all of y'all, I'm sure, do have your Bibles, turn to Philippians. Philippians is in which testament? It's in the New Testament. It is written by who? It was written by who? The Apostle Paul. Okay. Philippians 2:14-15. Can y'all hear me now? Everybody there? If you're not there, okay. Do everything without grumbling and complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. The word of God for the people of God. You know, it's funny, in my dad's church, whenever he says that, and you hear like a little bit of a thanks be to God. I mean, when I say this is the word of God for the people of God, I want to see y'all excited, because we've got a Savior who has come into our hearts and is ready to save us. So the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
That's something to be excited about. I know we get so used to the repetition and saying things, but when we say that, we need to feel the joy in our hearts, because those are powerful words. But God put this verse upon my heart. Is the word holy mentioned any time within that text? No. It says, don't complain, don't argue, become pure and blameless. And I kept searching, Lord, what scripture would you like me to pull from? What is it that you want me to convey, Lord? I was like, I don't want to just speak my heart of holiness. I want you to tell me. And God kept bringing back this verse. And I said, okay, God, whatever, you know, this is your deal. And so I guess if I were to look in the Bible, in my heart, what God put upon there for a definition of holiness, it would come from this verse. Don't argue and complain all the time. This world is crooked and depraved. Does this make sense? Today, what are some things that the world makes holy? Okay, first and foremost, what do y'all think the word holy means? Y'all tell me. Y'all had a lesson on this. I want to see if y'all are learning anything. Pure. What else? I can't hear y'all.
Sacred.
Clean. It's something we should strive for, something we should see and desire and want to be a part of. Shouldn't it be? What does the world think of as holy? What is holy in this world of ours? Everything that is not holy to Christ, that is holy to God, pretty much is holy in this world. What are some things that y'all struggle with every day in this world makes holy?
Money.
Status. Image. Status. Everything like that. You know what, guys? You know why I don't read magazines? I gave up whenever I went off to college. I gave up reading Cosmo and all those other magazines, because you know what? Who cares what Brad and Jen are doing, or who cares who's breaking up? It's junk. Who cares? You know what? We have all these images coming into us, all this MTV and everything else, and it's like we put these people on pedestals and we make them holy. And we care what their every move is, and Vince and Jen are like, you know, whatever. Who cares? Does it matter? Why do we spend all this time reading about these movie stars and these athletes who do all these horrible, horrible things and aren't role models, and we put them on these pedestals, and we spend more time reading Cosmo and all these other magazines and looking through it, trying to figure out, okay, what's going on in the relationship now and all these other things. We spend more time doing that than we do the Word of God. Is something messed up there?
Yep.
Something's very messed up. God convicted my heart that this sounds funny, but who in here loves the television show Friends? I don't love it. You can't love an inanimate object. I really like the television show Friends. The first time I saw Friends was I was in the fifth grade. And a fifth grader should not watch Friends, but I did. And none of my friends understood I liked the show. And I watched it all till a few years ago in college and went off air. God convicted my heart, because I would spend more time watching Friends than I did reading this book. I could tell you, I could sit here still to this day and tell you, if you could name to me any episode of Friends, and I can sit here and quote line for line the script. I kid you not. And that's a sad thing. And I'm embarrassed to admit that now, because if you tell me a book of the Bible, I might be able to give you a few verses or a few lines. Because that point in my life, God convicted my heart, because I had put Friends on this pedestal. Oh, my God, you know what? Thursday night, my sophomore, junior, and senior year, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, you know where I was? I was at home recording Friends. My friends all knew, don't ask me to do anything Thursday nights, because I'm at home, I'm watching Friends while I record it. And then later on that night, I'll probably watch it again.
And that's a sad thing, you guys. Like, it sounds funny now, and sometimes I laugh about it. But that truly is a sad thing. Because when you spend more time making things in this, and I understand, guys, I still struggle with this. Every day I get out of bed, I struggle because it is so stinking hard to be in this world but not be of it. It's a struggle for me every day. And if you say it isn't, you must be holier than thou. But me, I struggle every day trying to be pure and holy and not complain and argue and be a blameless person in Christ. It's a struggle. It's something we should strive through every day. But something's wrong if I'm going to spend more time in friends, which every sin you can find in the Bible is represented in this TV show. And I'm spending more time investing my heart. I'm kidding y'all not. Whenever I used to live in Lindale, and there's this guy who, when I was younger, I was like, I equated myself as Rachel, and he was my Ross. And until I was 18 years old, I really thought this boy and me were going to go off to college and probably date and stuff. And Sydney, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but he was my Ross. And I had equated that. I wasn't looking for a godly man because friends was like what my Bible should have been. I had made it holy. And that's so messed up. There's so many things in our lives we do like that. And so you know what I did for about a year? God convicted my heart. I had made this stupid, ridiculous, sinful TV show. And I'm not going to lie to you, I still do watch Friends. And that's okay. As long as I realize and I recognize it is just a TV show. Life goes on. You know what? That TV's going to go off. That show's off air. Well, it's, you know, on reruns on now all the time. But it doesn't matter. It can burn. It doesn't matter. I made it holy when, you know, I was so backwards. And so, I mean, I still watch Friends every once in a while now, but God convicts my heart when I invest so much of my heart and my time into something that can burn. Do y'all know what I mean when I say it can burn? We care so much about money. Well, we care about other things like image and stuff like that, but we're so materialistic. We make these so many material things important to us, but you know what? They can burn, literally. If you pour some gasoline and fire on it, it can burn. But the things that make us truly holy people are the things that are in here, the things that Christ testifies and stuff like that. I'm not just carrying my pillow around because I'm extremely exhausted and I'm kind of delirious. It's also because I brought another prop, friends. I brought my blankie. That probably seems strange to some of y'all, but I've had this. This is actually my 25-year-old sister's. Whenever she was born, she got this blankie, and as soon as I came along being the little sister, I stole it. And it's kind of old, and my family thinks it stinks and everything like that. But this blankie to me has been holy all my life. I'm kidding you not. We've gotten into huge, huge family fights where I would be cussing. I'm kidding you. This is when I was 20 years old, cussing at my sister because she touched and messed with my blankie. That's pretty sad. It's right up there with my embarrassing friends, fanaticism there. But this thing to me, and I'm not going to kid you, every night I have to have this to sleep. My grandparents are like, what are you going to do when you get married? I'm like, well, I'm going to have my blankie, and if my husband doesn't like it, then that's just too bad. I mean, this is my baggage right here. It comes along with me. But you know what? God, about the same time that my heart was convicted of how I had made friends so holy and so wonderful, God showed me this, and my mom just looked at me. I am like 20 years old, and I had just cussed and griped at my sister because they know this will always be sentimental to me because this isn't just a piece of cloth. This represents pain and sorrow and everything. This is very special to me and always will be. But I don't make it holy because I recognize that it can burn. And that's okay. I can live without that. And I'm not going to lie, it would be hard at first. It really would. But I know I can live without it, so it's no longer holy. The other day, where's the young man? I don't know his name. I don't see him right now, but there you are, white shirt, glasses, I'm talking to you. Yeah, what's your name? Jacob? Jacob, okay, Jacob. Hey, Jacob, how are you? I'm sorry I didn't get your name. The other day, it was so funny. He was making me think of this lesson because we were doing our really cool skit, and he was one of the Shalom Cowboys, and he was like, Shalom Cowboy would wear a wife beater, so he took off his t-shirt, and he was like, look at my muscles. Not really. And he had his t-shirt there, and he asked me if I'd hold it, and me, because I'm really mean, I said, I ain't your mama. I said, I'm not going to hold your t-shirt. I said, throw it on the ground. And he's like, no, I worked so hard to get this. This t-shirt's important to me. And I'm not picking on you, but it's the same thing that I have with my blankie. But I'm sure you realize that life will go on without your t-shirt and that it can burn and things like that. But it was just so funny because that's what that made me think of. Let me ask y'all this. As you, as teenagers, do we strive to be holy? As people, do we? And I don't want to just use y'all's examples. Y'all are just I'm speaking to y'all, so I use y'all a lot as examples. But y'all aren't the only ones that have a hard time being holy. People. And we're human. We're not perfect, so it is very hard. I want y'all to just shout out at me. I'm very interactive, so y'all just shout at me. What are some things that you recognize when you see a teenager that represents holiness or being holy?
Cars.
What?
Cars?
Oh, that's a good one. Teenage boys are the worst about this. Guitars. Cell phones. Okay, you guys. You know what? You guys, all right, let's get you back now. I know I'm really bad about keeping y'all together, but I want y'all to feel like you're a part of this too. You know, this cell phone, it will burn. I've gone all week without that, and you know what? I'm still alive, and if I pick that thing up later and it's broken, am I going to live?
Yeah.
Will it be hard at first?
Yeah.
Does this piece of metal and plastic, does that determine where I'm going when I leave here?
No.
All right, we talked about a few examples of things that we equate as a teenager and as a person, the things we equate to being holy. What is true holiness? You know what? I still have my best friends, Amy, Valerie, and Megan. We were all best friends since we were 15 years old. And people said, you know, when y'all are done with high school, y'all will not still be best friends. Well, I'm pretty much done with, I'm supposed to be done with college, and we're all still four best friends. And that's a God thing right there. But the thing that kept me in line a lot of times, as I had one of my best friends was such a godly influence on me and such an amazing girl, I would look at her and see holiness in her. If I would wear a certain outfit, she was a regular teenager. She was very cool. She was one of the coolest, most loved girls at our school. Everyone loved her, but they loved her for the right reasons. They saw her heart because they saw holiness. What are some of the things you think I saw in her?
Kindness.
There was, you cannot go to Lindell and find one person to say one bad thing about Megan Brooks. You can't. Because she had kindness. What are some other things? What do y'all think? When y'all see somebody,
selflessness.
What do you think she spent her time doing? She kept me in line. And we would talk about our relationships with Christ and what we needed to do. Yeah, of the group, I was more like the screw up. I was the one that was more rebellious and things like that. But you know what? I had her as an example in my life, and she always did things what this book said to do. I mean, yeah, she was a teenager and she messed up, but I always knew in my heart that she was striving after being holy and doing the right thing, whether it was through her actions, her words and stuff. You know, the way you represent yourself and the words that come from your mouth are a representation of your heart. You know that? It is so hard for me whenever I get youth or young girls who are like, I love Jesus, and they come up, and I'm not picking, but I'm picking, and they come up with Abercrombie shirts that say, like, you know what they say, and they've got these Hoochie Mama shorts on that are like that, and then they're all over the boys, and they're all like this. No, I was like that, guys. I had this Abercrombie shirt that my high school principal walked up to me, and he knew that I was a devout, I tried really hard. He knew I was a Christian. He came up to me, and he looked at my shirt, and he shook his head, and he goes, I can't believe you'd wear that. And that changed my heart, because what I was claiming to be wasn't what that represented. And I think one of the easiest ways we represent how we aren't holy is by what we do in our spare time and the things we wear. And I hate to pick on girls, but Guys are the same way. And that's not to say that you can't wear Abercrombie and Fitch and stuff like that, but the way you spend your time, the way you talk about people and what you do shows if you're a holy person, or if, I don't like using that term, because none of us are, in my heart, none of us are holy. The only one who is Jesus Christ, but we should be in that eternal goal of becoming closer to Him and becoming holy. Does that make sense? I think it's like lunchtime. Are we good? I think it's about time. I tend to go over, and I don't want to do that.